So tell me, when you heard that gospel, you're all ready to say, praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. You like that gospel? Another tough gospel here. When I moved to Kaiser, I became familiar with a group that called the Reenactors. Is anybody here in that group? We have some that... the Reenactors are a group that stage mock Civil War battles, and they do everything with authenticity. And they come in July, and some of them come in uniform here at one of our masses. I think it's the 8:15. And it's always the hottest day of the year, and they have all these overcoats on from the Civil War. It's just, they must really love what they do. And a good reenactor is somebody who plays their part perfectly well. They even the tents and where they spend the night is completely authentic. I discovered that because I like to do exercise at Willamette Mission Park down the road here. And I've since discovered it's kind of a national phenomenon that's growing. But the only way you can tell, you know, you see the camp, you think that the Confederate Army is parked there until you go around the corner and you see that they arrived in SUVs, you know. So I don't know how the originals did, but that's not authentic. But I mention this because Christ is using this battle analogy in the gospel, and where the reenactors are fakes. The battle's rigged. Everybody knows the outcome. It's part of the fun. Real battles are not like that. And we are not reenactors. It is true. The church, we already see the church in victory in the last book of the Bible. The church wins. She's had many setbacks over the course of time, but the victory is assured. But for us in the heat of the battle, we're still deciding that. And so Christ wants us to understand what it costs to be a disciple. He's walking and teaching, as I've mentioned several times before. And he's got it. At this point, there's a huge crowd following him. And he's thinking about, where is he going? He's headed to the cross. These people don't have a clue. They will not be with him when he's at the cross, will they? And he turns around, he looks at him, and he says, oh, so you want to be my follower. In that case, you must pick up your own cross. Well, a cross was a horrible thing in those days. You cannot be my disciple without your cross. How often God has tried to give me a cross and I push it right back at him. I don't want this, Lord. Take it away, Lord. But you see, the cross is the key to heaven. The lock opens with his cross. I must be carrying at least one key, the key of faith, of course, but it comes in the form of a cross. So when Christ is pushing a cross in your hands, he's giving you a blessing. And some people have a big key ring full of them, and they're going to get into even more doors when they get into heaven. So a cross is a blessing that looks awful on this side because we're not looking at things the right way. So he tells us, if you don't have a cross from me, perhaps you're not my disciple. It's a new way of looking at things. And he says, all right, so you're my follower. We're going to build a tower together. You better make sure you have enough bricks to finish the tower. Mount Angel's building, anybody seen the bell tower up there? It's amazing. That place doesn't even look like where I went to school. And it's neat, you know. But if they had stopped halfway up because the funding dried up, they'd be the laughingstock of all the monasteries in the country. You know, somebody told me at the last mass, I should say, that perhaps you're a brick short of a load. I don't know if that's they are referring to me, but I honestly prayed over the scripture when I was deciding to become a priest, and I told the vocation director, I said, I don't have enough bricks to build this tower. I better do something else. And she said, well, that's good. You have to rely on God for the rest of the bricks. That's the lesson, you see. You don't have enough to build the tower. That's the point. You're building something that goes to the sky, and we don't have enough resources to finish the job. Or if you're putting in pipes in the parking lot, we have an extraordinary thing going on. I'm sure half of Kaiser's wondering what the heck's going on over here at St. Ed's. But if you don't have the pipes to finish the job or we don't have the money, we'd be the if this looked like this 3 years from now, we'd be the laughingstock of all the churches in Kaiser and Salem. And that's the whole point. But Christ uses this battle analogy. And I Having been on an Ignatian retreat this last 7 days, Ignatius was hit by a cannonball. He was a soldier, and he thought of the spiritual life in terms of spiritual warfare. Whose camp are you in? Are you in the Confederate Army, which lost, or the Union Army that won? It's not a one-time decision. Every battle of life, we're choosing sides. We don't always fight on the winning side. You know what I mean? It's called sin. So our Lord says this wonderful line that puts fear in the heart of every American with a three-car garage, which I have at the moment, I've talked about before. You cannot be my disciple unless you give up everything that you possess. How about that one? Go home and think about that this week. Nobody can do that. Except, since I'm dealing with two funerals this week, it occurred to me, in order to enter his kingdom, I must leave everything behind. A religious does that prior to their death. That's why they take a vow of poverty. They do sooner what everyone eventually will have to do. But I don't think that's what Christ is talking about. I wish he was, because it would be easier. Instead, he tells us, you're about to go into battle. You're a king or a queen, and you are going into battle. And marching against me, in other words, you've got an enemy coming toward you. I'm not initiating the battle. The enemy is. They're coming at you. How many troops do I have? 10,000. How many troops does the enemy have? 20,000. That means you're outgunned, outnumbered, and in a very desperate situation. You're my disciple. You're fighting for your life. Your enemy is not merely flesh and blood. Even if it was, we might not win the battle. But you're dealing with principalities and powers and sometimes demons who have many more resources than we do. So our Lord says, if you're not going to battle with me and do it my way, you better settle for peace terms, because you're going to lose. And everyone in this room, if you think about it, has been in that situation. We don't win all of our battles. But what possessions does God want us to give up? I prayed about this all week on my retreat, and I kept coming up with the same answers. For you, it might be a little different, but I'll share the fruit of my prayer this week. He said, first of all, I want you to give up your own will. How many times do we pray, our Father who art in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done, and then we get on the freeway and we say, my will be done. Or we go home and watch TV, my will be done. Mm-hmm. There are a million ways that we fight with God. Thy will be done is fought out in the battles of life. We always have to ask ourselves, what's God's will in this situation? When I do God's will, I'm going to win the battle. If I'm selfish and do my will, I just might lose. Because God will stand back. You don't want my help? Go ahead and fight the battle yourself. But you'll be coming back later. That's the critical one right there. My will. Because God gave you a free will, and he will never take it away. That's kind of scary. I wish he would sometimes. Another possession that he asks us to give up. Our time. Yes, we all have busy lives. He wants us to submit our daily time to God. Do I make time for Mass? Do I pray? Do I turn my cell phone off during Mass? Sorry, I heard one go off. All right. Do I tithe? Where do my resources go? Have I made time for Scripture? We ask God to place within us his schedule. Let him work it out. If I take it all to myself, God can't bless me. If I give him something, it multiplies. Try it. It works. If I gave up my hour of prayer, my life would fall apart in a couple of days. Maybe even sooner. Because God multiplies our time when we give it to him. He multiplies our tithe when we give it to him. How selfish am I? I'm not just talking about giving to St. Ed's. In my whole picture, what's my giving level? What's my sacrifice level? It's not about amounts because we're all in different places. Some people have big mortgages and some people have more discretionary income. What resources am I giving to God for Him to use? Or am I fighting every battle with just my resources? And then there's another one that's even more critical. Am I going into battle with wounds? You know, your enemy, sometimes our enemy is within us, isn't it? Our human nature. We've become accustomed to an addiction or a sin, an internet problem that we've got. We can't get off of it, or we're watching the wrong stuff. Our enemy, and sometimes it's Satan, knows exactly where to hit you when you're in battle. You better know where that is. If you don't know your weak spot, go home and pray about it this week. Where do I tend to fall in battle? Your enemy, yourself, those around you, the one you can't see, that's the tough one, will know just when to hit you when you're at your weakest and where to hit you. So we have to make a good examination of our lives periodically. And if I have a mortal wound, a mortal sin, I want to go to confession, which is an exorcism, pushes the enemy out immediately. In other sins, each day, I'm confessing to God, excuse me, I'm confessing to God my weakness, my need for His healing, and where have I won the battles? Because God wants to strengthen us and give glory to God by the ways that we have fought, the things we're doing right, the things where we said yes to God are just as important as looking for negative stuff. That's very unbalanced to only look at the bad side. So our Lord asks us to surrender to Him so that we won't surrender to the enemy. And when we do this, we become grateful for the cross that God gives us as a follower of Jesus. And as we pick our battles in life, or they come to us without our wanting them, we will win the victory if we have surrendered to God.